got a Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Beginning a new series this morning entitled On Earth as It Is in Heaven. On Earth as It Is in Heaven. Walking through what is known in the scriptures as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus's sermon or series of sermons, right? A few theologians, commentators believe that this may not have been just one whole sermon that Jesus preached, right? Mainly because first and foremost, if you read it, it'll take all of but 10 minutes. And so a lot of folks say, man, ain't no way, man, Jesus could preach in only 10 minutes. Man, that seems pretty short. You know, I usually preach around 25 to 30. And so a lot of folks believe that, you know, this is more of, you know, Jesus's devotion, right? It's a devotion or a couple of series of devotions to the crowds that were there. This really, as what many commentators believe, and what you'll see even in the scripture, this really is the starting point in Jesus's public ministry, right? His public teaching, if you will. This is really the starting point of that. And as we walk through this series till the summertime, you'll see that Jesus, man, he comes essentially to set the record straight on some things. We've all got those friends, Sister Kelly, that we love them to death, but they speak through both sides of their mouth. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all know what I'm talking about, church? You got folks that, man, they love to tell a good story, even though it may not be totally true. They love to put on a show, if you will, and sometimes you've got to step in and let them know, hey, that's actually not what happened. You've got to actually see the truth, and I'm going to share the truth with those that are around, you may not necessarily be telling the truth. This is essentially, right, and the Beatitudes, what we're getting ready to look at, that's essentially what Jesus is doing here. The religious leaders of the day, man, they have essentially messed up the thought process on what it meant, right, to be a part of the kingdom of God. They had preached that, hey, there's only a certain number of folks that could be a part of it, or a select group of people that could be a part of it. They preached that you had to look a certain way, act a certain way. You had to be a certain ethnicity to be a part of the kingdom of God. You had to, be a part of a certain family within that ethnicity to be a part of the family of God. And Jesus here comes and essentially sets the record straight that, no. This essentially is what the kingdom of God, or what we'll see here, the kingdom of heaven is all about. And he starts out by talking about what is known as the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. As we'll see here, if you look up there, that last passage, we see Jesus, man, he ministers to great crowds, and his name, right, is becoming famous all throughout the world, essentially, all throughout Syria, which was north of Jerusalem. Man, his name was spreading, you know, hundreds and hundreds of miles. And then, man, these crowds are following him, and it says here in chapter 5, verse 1, when he saw the crowds, man, he sat down and began to speak to his disciples that were there. And so we'll pick up there, Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1. If you're there, let me know that you're there by saying there. And we'll read through verse 12 together. It says this: seeing the crowds, he, talking about Jesus, went up to the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them. Real quick there, his disciples isn't just talking about the 12 specifically. At this point, he had hundreds of disciples that were following him at the time. And so this was a sizable group. Distanced themselves essentially from the crowd that was there, that was even larger. It says this: and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This morning I want to essentially set the record straight, like Jesus did here, right? And share about the truth of the kingdom of God. That's what I entitled the message today, the truth about the kingdom of God. Jesus came to set the record straight, right? And hopefully, right, the record is straight in our lives in an understanding of what the kingdom of God is all about. And so with that being said, why don't we pray together one more time and we'll jump into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for your love for us, Lord. We thank you that, God, you care for us, Lord. You want to meet with us. So, Lord, we ask that you continue to do so, Lord. Pray that you continue to open our eyes, Lord, to see you. Speak to us now, Lord. I pray that we'd be a people who respond to you this morning as we look at your text. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we ask these things all in your gracious and heavenly name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. When it comes to the Beatitudes, right, the blessed statements, there's another word to phrase that. I've heard all kinds of sermons myself. You've probably heard several sermons if you've been in church long enough about what they are. A lot of folks like to essentially ascribe these blessed statements to essentially prerequisites for, a right Christian life, if you will. So essentially, hey, if you live these certain ways, then, hey, you're actually, man, hey, living rightly. Which, yeah, generally speaking, right, that could be seen as the case. But the problem is, what happens when you look at the first couple of statements where it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who lack in spirit. That's not necessarily something that you're desiring to partake in or have, if you will. Right? Essentially what Jesus is saying is blessed are the spiritually bankrupt. That's not essentially what you're looking to possess. And then nextly, blessed are those who mourn. Man, mourning isn't necessarily a fun thing to do or a fun thing to be a part of. And so we've got to be careful not to just simply say, okay, hey, you know, right living is ascribing to all these different statements. And see the context here. Jesus is, he just got done preaching to all the crowds. They're healing folks, right, left and right. The folks that are down and out. The folks that, man, were cast offs, if you will. He has this crowd of disciples that are there, and he begins to teach them and say, hey, blessed are those folks. Blessed are those people. He comes, hey, to set the record straight, if you will, about, man, God's favor right on the lives, man, of all people. That word there, blessed, is the word where we get our English word for happy, if you will, but you've got to think as an Easterner. Man, happy isn't necessarily the greatest translation of that word. When we think of happy, we think, oh man, hey, life's good. I'm taken care of. Everything's all right. But it goes beyond that. Man, a better way to see that word or a better way to say those statements, right, are essentially, it's more than, you know, happiness, but essentially, man, God's favor on. God's favor is on the poor in spirit. Man, God's favor are on those who mourn. Man, God's favor are on those who choose to be meek. Man, we've got to set the record straight about the kingdom of God here. What Jesus, man, is coming in and sharing, right, and wanting us to understand is that the kingdom of God is not like, man, what the religious leaders of the day, man, preached on about doing, right? Hey, being all put together. And it's beyond that. And he highlights here, right, three truths about the kingdom of God that I want for us to highlight and see today. The first truth, man, are found in verses 3 and 4, man. The news about the kingdom of God is this, that it is now available and accessible to anyone. The kingdom of God is available and accessible to anyone. Going back to the text here again, man, hey, God's favor be. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Man, what Jesus is saying here again, just picture it. He just got done healing the crowd, just looking at the crowd and saying, hey, those folks, man, the sick, the downtrodden, those who are spiritually bankrupt, man, that you know, can't even worship in the synagogue of the day. Hey, God's favor is on them. Hey, the folks that are down and out, man, God's favor is on them. The spiritually destitute, man, those far from God, God's favor is on them. Hey, those who, man, are struggling, right? Life has hit them hard, man, God's favor is on them. Hey, that's countercultural, by the way, to the teaching of the time. Hey, if you had stuff going on in your life, right? If you had problems, that means, hey, you weren't righteous enough. You were, matter of fact, cursed. Back then. Remember, hey, in John chapter 9, the blind man? You know, the disciples were asking the question, hey, man, what sin did this kid commit? And Jesus is like, no, hey, get ready to see the kingdom of God at work here. I'm getting ready to heal him. Jesus is saying, hey, that the kingdom of God, man, is available and accessible to anyone. And by the way, hey, the way that we enter into the kingdom of God is by repentance and faith. So the person in here who's lost, far away from God, spiritually bankrupt, as verse 3 says, hey, the kingdom of God's for you. All you got to do is choose to see the fact that you're spiritually bankrupt. See the fact that you're far from God and choose, man, to turn from your sin and trust in him. The person in here, man, who knows God is a believer, but man, hey, you've been running away, doing your own thing for a while. Hey, God's favor is still on you. He hadn't left. All you got to do is turn around and run back to him. Man, and look to continue to build his kingdom. Man, his kingdom is available and accessible to everyone. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Listen, child of God in here who feels as though, man, hey, you can't seem to figure it out. Life keeps punching you in the throat. Usually say punching in the face, but punching in the throat, I think it actually hurts a little bit more, brother. Life keeps punching you in the throat. Right, hey, life's been such a burden for you. You're wondering where God is in this moment. Hey, you're wondering, man, if he even cares about you. Well, Jesus here says, hey, man, God's favor is even on you. The person who's mourning. Hey, the person who can't even seem to put it together. Hey, God's favor is on you. And so choose to stay close to him and cling to him. As 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, hey, man, at the right time, the Lord, he is the God of all comfort, who's looking to comfort you and I in our afflictions, so we can comfort others who are afflicted. Man, the kingdom of God is accessible to anyone. The lowest of the low, man, the busted up, the broken up, the hurting. His favor is on those folks. Again, revolutionary concept. The religious leaders, who knows who could have been in this group, man, that was here in this teaching. The religious leaders who had it all together, we'll see later on, Jesus said, he calls them a whole bunch of snakes. He says that you guys have missed it. Missed it. Man, aren't you glad, man, that his favor rests upon even us, the down and out? Man, the kingdom of God is available and accessible for anyone. That's the first truth about the kingdom of God. The second truth we see in the next portion of the Beatitudes here. Second truth is this, that kingdom living is countercultural living. The first set of blessings, right, speak to, man, our internal struggles and how, man, Jesus is still with us in the midst of them. And then secondly, right, we see here the second blessed statement speak to this external, desire to live rightly, if you will, and how Jesus ultimately says, hey, man, living this way within the kingdom, listen, first and foremost, it's kingdom living, and secondly, it is countercultural to life. Look back at the scriptures here. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. We can walk through these, and I don't even have to really communicate how these are countercultural to how the world, man, tells and calls for us to operate. Now, blessed are the meek, or in your Bible it may say humble, right? That doesn't necessarily mean weakness. That essentially means, you know, power that is under control. Learning how to restrain yourself. Hey, that's countercultural, isn't it? Growing up, hey, I learned, and we'll see it here, later on within this Sermon on the Mount. Growing up, I learned this. Hey, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Hey, if somebody, man, looks at you the wrong way, if somebody says something that offends you, you don't just let that slide. You show your power in that moment with a two-piece and a biscuit, if you know what I'm talking about. Those of you who do boxing, hey, two pieces, one, two. Two pieces and a biscuit. But Jesus says, hey, countercultural living, hey, man is learning and how to control that strength, restrain. Not retaliate, but restrain. So. Says nextly, hey, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. We live in a day, man, where, hey, everybody wants to do what they want to do. That's countercultural to the world today, hunger and thirsting for man, rightness or right living. Right, Jesus says, hey, blessed are those, man, God's favors on those, man, who seek, man, hunger and thirst, man, to live rightly. For at the end of the day, man, they'll find their satisfaction. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Countercultural, man, exhibiting mercy. Hey, we're a people, man, who love to receive mercy when it's given to us, but hate to show it when the time comes for us to be able to show it. That's countercultural living. Again, if somebody wrongs us, man, I ain't trying to show them mercy. But Jesus said, hey, blessed are those who look to live that way. Blessed are the pure in heart, man. Blessed are the peacemakers, synonymous there. Speaking to this thought of, man, hey, looking to live lives, right, in holiness, pure at heart, man, looking to have a pure heart. We struggle with that all the time, man. I get any kind of, bad thought comes to the mind, I let it sit there, man, and it consumes me. And we're in that same boat. We've got to understand, right, that this kingdom living, if we want to live as citizens of God's kingdom, man, it's a countercultural type of life. It's not going to fit in with life. And we'll see here, as we work down furthermore, man, we'll see that at the end of the day, hey, listen, you may even get persecuted for it, get made fun of for it. Reminds me of a story, Brother Israel. I remember when I was in high school, new Christian, been saved, man, a few months. And I remember I got some kind of necklace from the church, a little cross necklace, Jesus piece, if you will. I remember wearing that, to school, man, showing it off, man, hey, I'm saved, Sister Arlene, I want folks to know. And I was sitting next to a guy in my computer class, and, he looked at me, and he said, hey, wait, what's that necklace you got? Oh, man, it's a cross necklace, man, representing, man, the cross of Christ. He said, man, that necklace is whack, man. That's all he said. And then just moved on. I said, wait a second. Man, Jesus ain't whack. He's not whack. Who thinks that? And as we got to talk, I soon learned that, he was, an atheist, one who didn't believe in God at all. That was really my first experience, growing up in the South. At least folks, claim to be, many folks claim to at least follow or adhere to some kind of religion. But he didn't. He didn't. And I remember thinking, man, that's, that little taste of persecution, man, it made me feel horrible. And for a moment, I just wanted to tuck that necklace in, if you will, and roll on. But as I learned, right, the call for us is to be unashamed of the gospel. Right, yeah, even if folks persecute and revile you, man, be unashamed of it. And in the same way, man, when it comes, right, to this countercultural way of life, the call for us, hey, is to choose to walk in it anyway. Hey, even if, man, persecution comes your way, even if, right, it's uncomfortable for you and your family, even if, man, you lose friends or people in the process, man, the call for you is, man, to live this countercultural life. Kingdom living is ultimately countercultural living. Which, by the way, I'll throw this in free of charge. Hey, we don't exhibit these characteristics without being folks that are actively pursuing Christ. And so walk with Him. Spend time with Him. And you'll see God's favor and display in your life. And then thirdly and lastly, verses 10 through 12, it leads right into it. Kingdom living is not only counterculture, but thirdly and lastly, right, the kingdom life is worth living. The kingdom life is worth living. Verses 10 through 12, look what it says. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Verse 10 wraps up, right, Jesus, man, speaking to those folks, right, those, man, people that, man, are persecuted for living rightly, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then he shifts in verses 11 and 12 to speaking to, man, to you. You see the language shift, verse 11 and 12, man, he's speaking to, hey, the disciples there that are there with him. He's directing, right, to these last two statements to them. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The kingdom of God, right, this kingdom life is worth living at the end of the day for a couple of reasons. One, it's worth living because we see, as what Jesus says there, our reward, right, when we get to glory is a great one. I don't know about you, but here's the truth. I'm not living just for this life. I'm not living just for today, if you will. Man, I'm living, man, ultimately for another life. Because, by the way, my permanent address is there. It's not here. Right? But I'm living to honor the Father, man, so that one day, hey, man, my reward will be great there. And you may say what that reward is, right? In context here, not quite sure, but as we read in other parts of Scripture, man, I believe the rewards are crowns that will one day get to lay down at His feet in worship, in adoration to Him. Me choosing to live this countercultural life, this Christian life, man, it's worth it because of the reward that's laid down there. Not only that, right, it's worth it because, right, of the response of those that are around, that see that I'm living this different life, that we're living this different life. Man, I'm thankful for the people, man, that were a part of me coming to faith in Christ. And their willingness to choose to stand, even though folks, man, might have reviled them. You know, again, I'm from the South, so it was more, internally. And it was more shown in a look. Their revile was more of a look or an eye roll, right? They were too scared to say something actually to them, you know. But I'm thankful for those folks, man, that chose to stand for the Lord and live for Him and walk in this countercultural life. Because, man, hey, I saw it and the Lord used it in my life, and man, I came to faith. And in the same way, hey, it's worth living. This kingdom life is. Man, because of the response of those that are around you that may not know Him. Those that may end up coming to faith, hey, because of the way that you live. And because of you being bold enough, man, to share with them about this Jesus, man, that died for them. It's worth it. So even though struggle may come, even though persecution may come, and hey, we may see a day, we're already seeing it out west, you know, and in other places where, man, hey, folks, man, getting kicked out of places, folks, I mean, getting reviled, maybe some even, man, getting beat up, standing for the Lord. Man, even though that may come, man, choose to understand that this kingdom life is worth living. It's worth living. I love what Paul says in Philippians 1, 21 through 27. He says it like this. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, if I live on in the flesh, this means fruitful work for me, and I don't know which one I should choose. I'm torn between the two. I long to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Since I'm persuaded of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that because of my coming to you again, your boasting in Christ may abound. Just one thing, as citizens of heaven, live your life worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I will hear about you, that you are standing firm in one spirit and one accord, contending together for the faith of the gospel. Man, kingdom, the kingdom life is worth living. Some takeaways and we'll be done today. What can we take away from this? What can we take home from the Beatitudes here? First thing we can take away is this. Hey, learn to rejoice in the grace of God. Aren't you glad that the kingdom of God is accessible, man, to anyone? Man, even us. Hey, the lowly, the folks that didn't fit the bill ethnically. Man, it belongs to us. Hey, those that, man, were far off from Christ before we came to know him. Is accessible to us. Hey, choose to rejoice in the fact that you, man, are part of the kingdom of God. Secondly, man, realize what the kingdom of God is all about. Man, the kingdom of God, man, is all about. And Jesus reigning and ruling, man, in our hearts, but also, man, reigning and ruling in the hearts of other folks. That's what his kingdom's about. Which leads to the third and last takeaway, man. Hey, choose to reach out and invite all to enter into the kingdom of God. Because, hey, the kingdom of God is accessible to anyone and everyone. Hey, we ought to be folks that are active in reaching out and inviting those by faith, man, to enter in. No one's too far gone, man, to enter into the kingdom of God. Hey, no one's too far off. No one's too broken. We ought to be folks that are willing to invite others into his kingdom. The truth about the kingdom of God.